I feel like that the Lord laid on me this week a very solemn message of warning, and like for you to pray that the Lord's word would go into your hearts and do that which He sent it to do. I want to start with Mark chapter 13. Jesus explaining here about the last days and the coming of the Son of Man, or Him, His second coming. In verse 32, He said, "But of that day and that hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father. Take ye heed, watch and pray, for ye know not when the time is. For the Son of Man is as a man taken a far journey, who left his house and gave authority to his servants and to every man his work, and commanded the porter to watch. Now you watch, therefore." That's what He's saying. A man who did this has someone that he has to watch. Now He's saying, you are those who watch. "For ye know not when the master of the house cometh, at even or at midnight, or at the cock crowing, or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. And what I say unto you, I say unto all, watch." That's my subject this morning. Watch and pray. He said, take heed, watch and pray, for you know not when the time is. So there are several thoughts in the word watch. And first one, I guess, would be the nearness of the coming of the Lord. And that's been preached many, many times. So it's really easy to be kind of lackadaisical about it and not really watch. But He did say, for all of us, and everyone up until the time that He does really come, are to watch, are to be aware. The word watch means be on the alert. It means to be aware that it's going to happen, to be aware of the signs of it happening. Another place, several places in Scripture say about looking for Him. Earnestly, it says, looking for and earnestly desiring the coming or the day of the Son of Man. So to desire it to come when a child is waiting for their birthday to come or Christmas, that child watches. They watch the calendar, and if it's on the day and they know that they're going to have a party at 6 o'clock that evening, probably, I'm sure these children are saying, what time is it? How many hours? How many days? Now, we don't have that understanding of what day or hour that Jesus is going to come back. But He still wants us to watch and to expect, to look for Him. He said, those that look for Him, shall He'll return with, how is it, they that look for Him? We look for the Savior from heaven. There's just different thoughts that are in the Scripture. Talks about loving His appearing. It talks about earnestly desiring, hasting His appearing. So that all goes for watching. It goes with watching, having a desire, and praying. Watch and pray. Have you ever prayed, Lord, it's time for you to come. I want you to come. Please come. You can come today. You know, there's different places in Revelation where the Apostle John said, even so, come, Lord Jesus. So along with watching, there is the desire for it to come and the awareness that of the signs and the closeness of the coming. He speaks a little bit more of that in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. In verse 1, he says, "But of the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you, for you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night." Now, I read in Mark where he talked about the Lord's coming being like a master of a house who returns to have the servants there give account of what they've done while he's gone. But there's another allegory that he uses, and that's more in, I think, in the one in Luke. Let's look at that, because he refers to it here in 1 Thessalonians. Paul talks about the day of the Lord coming as a thief in the night. But he's getting that from what Jesus said. So let's look here in Luke 12. No, that's not the one either. I'm wanting the one about the thief. It must be the one in Matthew. Matthew 24 and verse 42. "Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up." Now, when it talks about what watch, they had several times of watching. They had a first watch and a second watch and a third watch. What was it? First, second, third watch. Yes, there is this in Luke 30, in Luke 12 and 39. He talks about a thief also. So when Paul talked about a thief in the night, he was referring to what the Lord said. 2 Peter 3, he also talks about a thief in the night. Peter says, "But the day of the Lord," in verse 10, "will come as a thief in the night." He's not talking about the Lord being a thief. He's talking about the suddenness and the unexpectedness of it. That if we could know what hour, then we would be up waiting to apprehend the thief, but we don't know. It comes on us suddenly. I'll never forget, in my childhood, there was a man in our congregation who got up and told on Wednesday night about how a thief had come in his house. And God gave him the presence of mind what to do, and he cornered the guy with a rake against the wall and held him there till the police came. That always made an impression on my mind, and I just thought, oh, you know, I need to keep a rake handy. That's what you catch a thief with. But it's always sudden. I know we haven't had a house theft that I know of, but we had a theft one time on the road where we were pulling our travel trailer, and around the St. Louis area, we tried to help some men who begged for help. And while we were helping one, the other one went and ransacked our trailer looking for things to steal. And I'll never forget, that was unexpected. We didn't realize that he was doing it. It happened right under our nose. That's what Jesus is trying to portray here, is the suddenness of it, how that we don't expect a thief to come. So the day of the Lord comes like a thief in the night, suddenly and when you don't expect it. So that's part of the watching. 25 and 13 of Matthew, "Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh." Now, that doesn't mean that we're always outside scanning the sky. What did it say? Let's see. In the one that we read in Mark 13, and also in Matthew 25, and also in Luke, he talks about the Son of Man, or Jesus, being like a master of a household. And he leaves, and he's going to come back. Now, this is a little bit different thought, but it still has the word watch in it. This is a little bit different story. This one is that he sets people in places of responsibility. And he gives them, he says here, he gives everyone his work. I remember my dad preaching about this, that every person has a work to do, that you need to keep faithful and occupy yourself doing it until the Lord comes. Whether he comes for you in the hour of death or he breaks through the clouds and comes for us all, either way, Jesus is coming for you. People die at all ages. We don't know the hour of our death. Many times we think, and others can see, it's soon. And maybe others don't know how soon it is. Maybe we don't know how soon it is, but others do. Anyway, it's still Jesus coming for us personally can be like that. But he's given everyone a responsibility. And he wants us all to be doing our work. Whether he gives us something small, he wants us to be faithful at that. So where does the watching come in? Watching means that I observe to do everything that he's asked me to do. That I'm alert as to what I'm supposed to do. I'm alert as to keeping myself busy, doing what he wants me to do. And I don't fall asleep on the job. That's one of the things that we read here in the scriptures about watching, is that it means to keep awake. It means to be on the alert. He gave the disciples a task one time there in the Garden of Gethsemane. And this was in Mark chapter 14. I've always been cut to heart with what he asked them to do and with how they could not do what he asked them to do. What was it that he asked them to do while he was in the Garden of Gethsemane? Do your children know what Jesus was doing in the Garden of Gethsemane? What did he do there? You remember? He was praying. And it was his last time to pray before he went to, before Pilate and before he went to the cross. It was his last time. And what did he ask his disciples to do? He asked them for help. He asked them to watch and pray. What were they watching for? What were they to be alert for? Was it that the soldiers were coming any time to get Jesus? I just have wondered, Lord, what does it mean for when you said, watch? Couldn't you watch? I think this time it meant, I need you to occupy yourself with helping me pray. I want you to stay awake and pray. That's what that watch meant. And they couldn't. They kept falling asleep. And sometimes we think, yo, disciples, why couldn't you help the Lord and how in the world could you sleep at this time? But I have found in my life times where I have been heavy with sleep. And I thought that I needed to watch and pray and found myself going to sleep. And just like the disciples, over and over. And here with the disciples, hear the Lord's voice say, what? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? So for that watch, it meant to be vigilant against what was, or let's say not against, but to be up with Jesus in praying with him for the strength he needed, staying up with him because he had to stay up, he had to pray. I need help, he's saying, doing this. He said in verse 37 of Mark 14, he cometh and findeth them sleeping, and saith unto Peter, Simon, sleepest thou? Are you asleep? Couldest thou not watch? Not thou watch 1 hour? Watch ye and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. So maybe their watching was for them, because the temptation was going to hit them to desert their master, and for Peter, for him to deny his master and say, I never knew. No, I don't know that man. I don't know the man. Maybe if he would have stayed up with Jesus and prayed, would he have had strength to have resisted the temptation? We just know how it went. We don't know how it could have been, really. But Jesus wanted him to stay up and watch, and he warned him. He said, "The spirit truly is ready." One other writer said, "Willing." The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. So that's a meaning for us now today. Why would the Lord want us to watch and pray? Is because we still have flesh. So one of our reasons for watching is that the Lord is coming, and we don't know what time. And we want to be alert as to the signs of His coming. We don't want to be caught unaware. We want to be diligent also to do our work that He's given us to do. That's one of the places of watching, is to be busy doing what He wants us to do. We don't want there to be something to keep us from doing what He gave us to do. One of these said, I believe it's in the one in Matthew, he said, "Don't be like some servants who, when they're trying to do their work and the Lord delays His coming, they begin to fight with each other and to eat and drink with the drunken." That's one of the dangers. He said, if you would watch, then you would be aware of the dangers of eating and drinking and getting drunk. And then that thought is carried on into where Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians 5, where we were headed for a little bit ago. And that also goes along with the one he gave to Peter there in the garden. "Peter, your flesh is weak." What is it that is going to appeal to our flesh? That's one of the places where we need to watch. So let's go back here to 1 Thessalonians now, 5. In verse 4 he says, "But ye brethren are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief." Could it be that if we would watch and pray during this time of Jesus' approaching coming, that we could have in our spirit, God would give us some preparation, some warning? Could it be that before our own death, the Lord knows that our death is coming, if we would be watchful and prayerful, He could deal with us, He could work with us so that we would be ready? But if we weren't watchful and prayerful, that our death could come upon us and we wouldn't be ready for it? That's quite a thought, isn't it? That really stirs me. Because I don't always think about, well, I should pray because I could die today. I don't always think that way. I should pray because I need to be diligent to do the work the Lord's calling me to do. I do tend to think more that way. I should pray because my flesh is weak. Now, I know I think that way. But just all of these different reasons to pray and watch, we don't always think about that. We don't always think that my day, my last day, could come on me like a thief. And he said, you're not in darkness. If you're watching and praying, the Lord's going to prepare you some way. I know that the Lord prepares us for many trials. By being watchful and prayerful, the Lord can give us some warnings many times. He can give us scriptures. We don't know. He doesn't say, I just remember expecting a baby and you have a due date that you're expecting, and all of a sudden, 2 months before, a mother does not expect that to happen. But I just remember how the Lord prepared me, how the Lord came and dealt with me, but I didn't know what for. I just knew that He moved on my spirit to consecrate and to give myself entirely to Him. And the next day, I had a baby 2 months early. And I looked back on it and I said, well, Lord, that was your preparation, was that I was completely yours. I was consecrated. And then this came into my life. It was a time of great upheaval, the greatest trial I'd had in my whole life so far up to that point. And there have been other times until I got to where when I felt the Lord move in my spirit to reconsecrate, I would say, uh-oh, what are you getting ready to do, Lord? I began to pray like that. And even then I would say, well, I don't know. I have no idea. It may not be anything, but I do know it's real important to do this. So the Lord says, you're not in darkness that day should overtake you as a thief. You're all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. Now, if there was ever a commandment in the New Testament to not drink, this is it. Because what this word means, be sober, it means to abstain from alcohol. It really does. That's what it means. It means to refrain from drinking. Oh, Lord, help us. Let us watch and be sober. They that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. This being sober is not just literal eating and drinking, although that's part of it. But we find this is also hinting back to things Jesus said. In Matthew 24, he said something like, he begins to eat and the servant begins to smite his fellow servant and to eat and drink with the drunken. Also in Luke 21, he gives us a warning about that. And I really feel that not just the drinking that's going on in this world, literal alcohol, but I believe he's talking about being drunken with the cares of this life, being drunken with pleasures, which means we lose our alertness. When we get into things, the riches, the pleasures, the things that, desiring things that are forbidden to us, there's a sleepiness that comes over us. Literally, I've always wondered why at camp meeting we have this big, big meal in the middle of the day with dessert at the end of it, because I know what it does to the body. What happens when you do that? What happens when you eat all that? You get real sleepy. When you eat all that heavy food and then you have dessert, here's what happens to your body. Your blood sugar goes way up. And then in about a half an hour, it goes way down and you get real sleepy. And so we have this big meal and then we have a service. And we go in and we sit down and we try to listen to a preacher. And our body is way down in this sleepy time. I had a friend who told me that when she and her husband would go on a long trip, she thought that they needed snacks to kind of keep their alertness, so she'd pack granola with M&Ms and chocolate chips in it for energy. But she said, I noticed every time we would grab and eat that by the handful for about an hour, and then she'd say, then the one that was driving would say, oh, I'm so sleepy. Here, and she said, we'd change almost every hour. She said we were changing, her and her husband changing. And she said, we finally figured something out. She said, we were eating and our blood sugar would be going up and then all of a sudden it would go down and we'd get sleepy. And so she said, what we started doing was we drank water, and she said, then at noon we would go in and we'd eat a salad and maybe a piece of meat. We'd get back in the car and she said we could go for hours and not get so sleepy. This is literally, but I thought about how sleepiness and not being alert can be a result in our spirits of maybe overindulging of things that are pleasurable, and this world, being so taken up with this world that we get drowsy spiritually. It's not to say that we don't have pleasure, because we know God made there to be pleasures in our lives. There are some things God made purely for our pleasure and enjoyment, and He wants us to enjoy them. But we have to keep a watch against letting pleasure and the things of this life numb us and dull our senses. He says here, Luke 21:34, take heed to yourselves, and lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting. That word right there means the drowsiness that comes from overeating. That's what it means. It means that the overindulgence of appetites and its effect. Drunkenness, surfeiting, and cares of this life, so that day come upon you unawares. So if we're to be like the ones there in 1 Thessalonians where he said, you're not of the darkness, no, you're not of the night, that day should overtake you as a thief, here's what we need to guard against then. The surfeiting and drunkenness and the cares of this life. Because those are the things that make that day come upon us unaware. For as a snare shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch ye therefore, and pray always, that you may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man. So we watch and be diligent and be vigilant because of the things around us, the cares, the appetites of our flesh, the weakness of our flesh. That's one reason why we watch and be sober. Now we watch also 1 Peter chapter 5. We watch because we have an adversary. In 1 Peter 5 and verse 8, be sober. Be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. So we have an adversary. What was it that the adversary got Eve with? The lust of the flesh, the tree that was beautiful to behold, pleasant to the eyes, good for eating, and something to make you wise. But one of the things that he used was insinuating doubt against God. And I was thinking of that whenever I think I read in Hebrews where he said at one place, take heed lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief. Doubting is one of the things that Satan uses, plus the appetites of our flesh. But when he tries to get us to doubt God's word, so we need to stand on guard and watch against the enemy, lest he would cause us to doubt and question. That's one of the places I believe we need to really stand guard. And this time is because there are a lot of doubts that people are voicing. People all around us are voicing doubts as to what we've believed and what we've felt and taught and thought that the Spirit had told us and warned us about. You have people constantly doubting it. And your own self sometimes. Is this really how God wants us to live? Do I really have to live this closely and this carefully? There's so many other people that aren't troubled by these things. Why do I have to be careful? Why do I have to be watchful here? Well, here are the reasons. He said he's walking about seeking whom he may devour. He has ways of coming in. Let's see. Acts chapter 20. Paul was warning the saints at Ephesus before he left. He said, this is the last time you're going to see me. And it's recorded that he did go back at one point, but the people that he was talking to and warning here, many of them never did see him again, because as he warned, he said, after my departure, there will come people like grievous wolves and not spare the flock, and they're going to take many of you away with their false doctrines. And that happened before Paul got back. Many of the people that he was talking to here had gone away, just as he prophesied. He said in verse 28, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock. Verse 29, I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. And also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. Therefore watch and remember. You know, that's part of our watching too, is to be in remembrance of the warnings. My dad, and thinking about this grievous wolf that come in not sparing the flock, that's how the enemy comes in many times, is stealth with stealth, the surprise element. I remember my dad telling this story, and I don't know, it's a military story. I think it was from the Civil War, but I'm not sure. It may have been from the First World, or the one of the First or Second World Wars over in Europe. But somebody had been coming in and sniping, getting people in the dead of night and killing them. And my dad said that there was a night watchman that was warned. He said, you watch, because someone is coming in and getting people and we don't know how it's happening. So I want you to watch and shoot anything that moves. So the watchman began to his watch. And I think, as my dad said, that there was nothing. No men, no lights, no movement. Until he saw an old pig come in and start rooting around. He looked, that's just a pig. He just didn't bother with it. And in a few minutes, he noticed it was getting closer. And he thought, it's just a pig. And so then it came to his mind. This right here said, watch and remember that I've warned you. 3 years I've stayed here warning you about this enemy. And so the man thought, you know, he said, shoot anything that moves. And so he shot the pig and went over there, and it was a man inside of a pig's skin that had crawled up and was sniping people. And he had gotten away with it so long, but this man, he watched and he remembered the warning, shoot anything that moves. So this, one of our parts of watching is to remember the things that have been told to us and warned to us. And if we can remember, many times it'll help us just at the last moment. No doubt that night watchman would have been dead in just a few minutes if he hadn't shot before he did, or when he did. There was a little illustration too. I meant to share this when we were reading about the drunkenness and the cares of this life. I think that was when we read in Luke 21. But this has always been something that has been a message to me. When we lived in our other house over here on Airport Road, we began to have mice all the time, lots and lots of mice. And we blamed it on this and that. We blamed it on people that weren't shutting the door, that worked there in the shop, come into the office, and we said, y'all need to shut the door better because we've got mice that are coming in. They wait right there. We knew there was a little trail. We knew there was a trail. You could see it. They made a trail, and it looked like it went right to that door. And so we warned people, shut the door. Sometimes you could shut the door real hard, and it would bounce back open, and you wouldn't know it. And so we kind of blamed that for a while. Those mice, I would come into the kitchen at night, and they would come out from under the burners of the stove. And I was just like, why are these mice in my stove? Coming out of the stove burners and running around on the counter. It just made me feel dirty and violated. And we just had that for years. We had that. Well, one day we went out the door and I looked down at where the propane pipe came into the house. And there was an opening that was not just big enough for the propane, but it was like an opening right there in the wall. And that gave me an idea. I said, honey, look at this. This is where our mice are getting in, right here. They're not coming in through the door. They're coming in through an opening that we have in our house. They follow that line. They get up in the attic. They come down from where that line enters the stove and get into the stove and out onto the counter. So we found that. We plugged that opening, and we quit having mice. We had the same people coming in and out, but we quit having mice from that time. I think we killed 8 after that were already in the place, and then it was like, that was it. We got it. And I began to think about that spiritually, that many people and us, all of us, there are things from this life that we're required to have. We have to have the money of this life. We have to have a place to live, and we pretty much have to have a vehicle to drive. You know, all of the things that are necessary for the time that we live in the country we live in. Maybe if you lived over in the bush of Africa, you wouldn't need a vehicle. You wouldn't need that type of house. But here, where we are right now, I'm preaching to us, right? We have to have this, and we have to have that, and we have to have this. We have to have, in our business and in our lives today, pretty much, we have to have the internet. There are different things that we have, but did you know every one of them have the potential of bringing in other things into our lives that we don't have to have? And to me, that was like, we had to have the propane line to come into the house. But if the hole for it was too big, we got other guests, not just propane. We got mice. We got pests. We got nuisances that were plaguing our lives. And it just made me realize, and I've seen this happen. I've seen people who enlarged that place where the necessary things entered into their lives, but a whole lot more began to come with it until they had things in their lives that they didn't want. It was because, and the whole thing is, I can justify having this propane line, but I don't want to justify having the mice. Many times people do. They justify, well, and they don't even think, this is where this is coming from. And I didn't either for a long time. Didn't realize where this was coming from. Many times we don't realize where our spiritual troubles are coming from. They're coming in where there's a little bit too much allowance for the things that of this world that are necessary to us. And we enlarge that and we get more than what we really should have. So he said, watch. Watch and remember. Watch because the flesh is weak. Watch because there's the capability of these things to cause you to fall asleep, to be drunk, to fall asleep, to not be aware. So he said, watch and be sober. Watch and pray. Watch and remember. Be vigilant because your adversary, the devil, walks about, seeking whom you may devour. A couple more things here in Revelations chapter 3. Kind of the same thought about the enemy seeking to devour. Chapter 3 and verse 11, behold, I come quickly. Hold fast that which thou hast. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Well, we have a crown of life. Blessed is he who is the man who endures temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to them that love him. Paul said, I have fought a good fight. I've kept the faith. Henceforth, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord has promised, which the Lord shall give to not me only, but also to them that love his appearing. So we have a crown of life. He said, Paul said in, what is it, 1 Corinthians 9, where he said, they that run in a race, they all run, but one receives the prize. You so run that you may obtain. They do it for a corruptible crown, but we do it for an incorruptible crown. He said, so I run. I run with purpose so that after I've preached to others, I won't be a castaway. So here he's saying, you hold fast that what you have so that no man takes it from you. So here we're admonished to be vigilant because we want to keep our crown. Another place in Revelation chapter 16, verse 15. Something else that he wants us to watch and keep. Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments. Keep your crown, keep your garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. And there's quite a thought there. Is there something that's trying to get my spiritual garments? I need to be watchful, he's saying here. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments. Now what's going to take away my garment? What's going to do that? What is it that the saints had who sang the victory song and who were a part of the bride that went in to the marriage feast with the Lamb? What is it that they had? They had on white robes, right? I think that's the garments that he's talking about, that the enemy wants to take our white robes. He wants to take that fine linen, clean and white, the righteousness of saints. So he wants us, there's another scripture in the word that talks about gird up. Take something and wrap it around your garment so that it can't get dirty and drag on the ground and be torn and be ripped off. Take something and protect it. Gird up the loins of your mind. Another scripture that Jesus brought out was the parable there where at the wedding supper, everyone was to have on a certain type of robe, a wedding robe. And he came up to one guest and the man didn't have on his robe. And he came up to him and said, friend, why are you here without your robe? And the man didn't have an excuse. He was speechless, it said. And in the story, Jesus said they took him and bound him and put him into outer darkness simply because he didn't have a robe. It was a spiritual truth. If we don't have the robe, which is righteousness, his righteousness, and we have on our own righteousness, which is as what?
Filthy rags.
We don't have the Lord's robe, which is righteousness. It's clean and white. He's saying, you watch so that someone doesn't take your robe, your garment, the righteousness that comes from Christ. So we have here an adversary that would take our righteousness, take his righteousness, and cause us to trust in our own or to lay it down, to forsake it, to get spots on it. However, he wants to take, the enemy wants to take our robe. You know, when I was growing up, it was a little different from the congregation that we have here. The congregation where I grew up, there were many, many older people in that congregation. I can visualize in my mind older couple after older couple, many of them. And they each impacted my life. There were people who would who would testify on Wednesday night. Maybe 20, 25 such testimonies on a Wednesday night. And many of them were older, so they had words of warning, a lot of them. There were several sisters, Sister Lottie and Sister Evelyn McCoy, and Sister Dilly, Sister Marie Miles, Sister Geneva Ray. Those especially, I can remember, were older women in the congregation in their 60s and 70s and 80s, and they would get up and they would warn all of us. And I was a child and then a teenager, growing up with these warnings all the time, every Wednesday night, every Sunday. There were these people in my life that shared experiences. My two grandmothers, there's just in my mind just a whole bunch of people, older men too. I was a little girl, so I was really affected more a lot by the ladies in my life. But older men too, I can remember Brother McCoy, Brother Willie Murphy, Brother O.C. Porter, which was Andrea's great-grandfather, Brother Lawrence Pruitt. Those were the older men in our congregation. Am I missing some? Can you think of something? My Grandpa Hiram. I remember Grandpa Hiram. He had many times a testimony where he would warn with tears. Like Paul said, how many times I've warned you with tears. And we don't maybe have the same atmosphere here. But I remember that. I remember warnings about the coming of the Lord. I remember warnings against putting our trust in the wealth of this world. I remember warnings against worldliness. I remember the sisters warning me, don't get into glamour and physical beauty, but keep your heart. That verse comes to mind. Keep or guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Watch and keep your tongue from troubles. He who keeps his tongue keeps his soul from troubles. Lord, set a watch before the door of my mouth. Those kind of warnings. I remember those things growing up. Now, many people of my peers, I remember a lot of grumbling among the young people. Yeah. A sister again. She just gets up and she just goes on and on. I remember people resenting those things. But you know, now that I'm older and I look back and I think, I was very privileged and very blessed to grow up with older people who had seen all the dangers, who knew what was out there ahead of me, and they warned me. Time after time, they warned me. Gave their experiences. I remember different experiences that were shared with me, and they impacted my life. He says here, there's a thought that I haven't even touched, but that's what I'm leading to, that there are, in God's kingdom, God sets watchmen to help us watch. In the Old Testament, the watchmen would be set upon the castle towers or the fort towers, and they would watch. They would just screen the horizon, watching to see for danger. And when they would spot danger, they would make a cry. And that's what those people were in my life. In the New Testament, I believe it was the writer in Hebrews said, you give, remember, he said, those that have the rule over you and warn you. He said, for they watch for your souls. You know, it was valuable for me to have someone who watched for my soul. I remember at Sister Stubblefield, there was one sister who had a personal thought for me. But she would come to me personally and give me admonition and warning. I really appreciate that now. Some may have thought, oh, she's so overboard. Oh, she's so strict. But she was not harsh. She was very strict in her personal life. But she was very merciful and loving to others. She only wanted to help us. And she did. She helped me a lot. Sister Milo was another one. Her very countenance was heavenly. She endured a lot of grief from an unsaved companion, and she was always victorious. She was always very sweet, and she admonished us to be faithful and to be meek and to be loving. There were so many. Sister Evelyn, Sister Imogene Taylor. I was blessed with many watchmen and many ministers in my life too who watched for my soul. How important it was, like Paul, he said, I've warned you for 3 years. This is going to happen. And before he came back again, a bunch of those Ephesian brethren had been taken away just as he had warned. And I look back and I think about my peers. How many heeded the warning? And I'll tell you where they are today. They're pastors and they're missionaries today. Why? Because they heeded the warning that said, watch, this will harm your soul. Watch, keep yourself ready to meet the Lord. Watch, give the Lord your life and he'll give you a work to do. And he did that. The Lord did that for us as young people and children. But where are those who didn't heed the warning? A good many of them have been on drugs for a long time. Some of them are trying to come back, and you know it's hard to come back after a life on drugs. Some of them are still on drugs, and they're my age, and they've been on them now for 25 or 30 years. Alcohol or drugs. A lot of them are in second and third marriages. A lot of them are in other religions, and I'm not talking about just another Christian faith somewhere, but other religions. And they had the same upbringing, the same warning. Some of them don't believe anything at all and don't want anything to do with the Bible, the Word of God. I believe there's real value in watching, in being alert and being aware of the dangers, of the nearness of the Lord's coming, of our own weaknesses, of our own flesh, of false doctrines and things that could come in and plant seeds of doubt. One more thing I want to bring out too. He said in Ephesians 6, I'll just read this and then we'll be through. He had spoken to the saints about the armor, the whole armor of God, and he ended it up with praying always, verse 18, with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints and for me, that utterance may be given unto me. Here we have the thought about a watchfulness in prayer. And I've wondered and thought a lot about it. What does it mean to watch unto prayer? And watching thereunto. Watching unto prayer. I don't know all about it. I'm still pondering. I'm still wondering. But one thing I know that I have experienced is that when we're faithful to pray and then faithful to pray until we feel like that we receive direction how to pray. Did you know there's prayers that people can say, and then there's prayer that gets the mind of the Lord, and you begin to pray what the Lord directs you to pray. Because Scripture says we don't know how to pray as we ought. But the Spirit helps our weakness and our infirmity, and then He gives us things to pray for. When you pray, I don't believe that's the watching. I stay in prayer until I begin to have a burden that God gives me. And I watch for His direction in prayer. watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication. That's when the supplication really begins, is when the Lord gives you a burden, when He impresses a person on you, or maybe something about the person, maybe a danger, maybe just something, and the Lord burdens you. Pray for that individual. You don't know what to pray for many times, but many times the Lord can begin to direct your prayer, and you begin to pray, Lord, have mercy upon this person. They're in trouble. And I've seen the Lord, what the Lord burdened in secret, after a while it came out in the open, exactly what the Lord had burdened. And others have had that experience too. So that's another reason why we need to watch. We need to watch under prayer so that we can be mindful and alert as to how to pray for different needs. The Lord can, therefore, through that, cause you and I to do His work all over the world through prayer. You can't go, but you can, through prayer, work in that area. You can work in the Middle East through prayer. You can help souls be saved in Africa through prayer. You can send forth the missionaries that do go in prayer. You can pray for the specific needs that they might have. In that way, we're watching. We're being alert as to needs that we can't even maybe understand. But that's one of the things about watching that the Lord laid on my heart. Amen. I pray the Lord will bless His word.